May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The joy of heaven. Two simple stories, two simple parables, but oh, how they reveal the heart of God. Jesus, reflecting all the Father has in mind, gives us a glimpse of God's character, God's nature, and God's priorities. Most of all, these stories communicate what gives God such great joy. Who's listening to Jesus when he tells these parables? Who is drawing close to him? Isn't it the tax collectors and sinners? This puzzled and irritated the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus seemed to be enjoying the company of sinners more than them. How could this be? At least in their mind. One day, they expressed their indignation loud enough that it was overheard by Jesus. This man welcomes, receives sinners and eats with them. Welcome sinners. Pros dekomai, Greek word. The root word dekomai, which literally means to bring into one's arms. How would we say that in English? Embrace. Embrace. In other words, Jesus embraces sinners. He welcomes them into his arms. And he does that over and above the so-called righteous Pharisees and scribes who think they should be honored. The stories are clear enough, but each of them takes a turn. If you really read through them again, these turns focus on the ultimate message Jesus has for his disciples and for all of us. In the first story, one of the sheep out of 100 gets lost. Right? And Jesus asks, as if all would agree to this, that surely the shepherd would go and search for the one sheep, leaving behind the 99. Is it just me, but I wondered, would you really leave 99 in the wilderness to go and look for this one lost sheep who probably did it on his own? Would you do that? In the Pharisees' way of thinking, it was the fault of that lost sheep. That sheep wandered off following its own desires and appetite. It was not innocent. But Jesus showed that God cares for lost souls. He valued them, had compassion for them, and sought them. The second story is about a woman who lost a coin and who sweeps the house looking for it. Boy, do I understand this, right? I've lost a valuable before, and I've torn up the house looking for it, right? Or maybe my wife lost a valuable, more likely. But the woman finds the coin, and she calls over her friends to rejoice with her. But if a lost coin was so much of a concern for the woman, are we to expect her to endure the expense of a party to celebrate its finding? I mean, really, will cost her more than the coin. But maybe we should think of this coin more like a diamond ring. I have heard of women tearing up all the plumbing in the household, straining the septic tank looking for a lost diamond ring. Actually, again, happened to my wife. Soon after we were married, the beautiful diamond ring that I bought her, she lost in the house, and we had a septic tank. We did not find it. There was no rejoicing for a while. We used the insurance money to buy a heat pump. She had to wait quite a while before she got a diamond ring again, and that not as wonderful as the one she lost. Well, If it was a diamond ring, the Pharisees wouldn't think of it being like a diamond ring, because the loss for them were like human debris. In contrast, Jesus finding the loss is like finding a diamond ring and worthy of a great party and much rejoicing. Now we come to the important question. Who are the lost? Who are the lost? Are we just talking about crooked tax collectors and prostitutes? Heavens, no. The world is full of lost people. People who have lost their purpose, lost their enthusiasm, lost their joy, lost their hope. The sheep become lost because they mindlessly follow their appetites. Yeah, that was right. They follow their desires and they get further away from the flock and from the shepherd. They drifted into a lifestyle that's ungodly and destructive, actually, ultimately. As the scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, followed their own desires away from the shepherd into the darkness. The coin, on the other hand, has no thought or power on its own. It is acted upon. Likewise, many of the lost are victims of circumstances that seem to roll them away. They are swept into sin with no more resistance than a coin might have that's thrown on the floor. I think of these lost people as abused people, broken people, shattered by their experiences in life. You know these people. You've seen some of them. A lot of our homeless are like that. They've been shattered. Our veterans come home from war, the combatants, you know, they're broken, shattered. Right? I have some of that in my own family. And then they themselves act in sinful ways. It's the circumstances of their life. And we can give thanks if we haven't experienced such things. The truth is that many of us don't like lost people. They are not like us. Their lives are a mess. They have dangerous dependencies. They have family problems. They're ruled by emotions. They're just not like us. Good, regular people. Talking about you. Good, regular people who do regular things. Whatever that may be. Why, some ask, don't we just go after our kind of people? Our kind of people have problems too. Don't you have problems sometimes? I know you do. Sometimes you're filled with problems, but you're still like us. You're good, regular people, right? The sheep and the coin are too much unlike us. Too far from us. But we are God's people, and we stop and think about this scripture, and we think it through. That's what we're doing right now. We're drilling down and saying what it really is saying to us. Jesus embraced lost people. He ate with sinners. He wooed them. It suggests that people outside of God's family are ready to come back. And we ought to embrace them. The lost are also sitting in church pews. Some people are coming to church and they're hiding their very desperate lives. They know something's wrong. And it's good that they're here. It's good that they're here. But they are desperately unhappy. Not filled with joy. And we all go through that sometimes or another. Every Christian does, so. But the lost in the pews are hiding it, and they are enduring this for a long time. Some others don't think they're lost. They are prideful, they are educated, they're rich. You know, we Look at our celebrities, you know? They don't look lost. They don't feel lost. They're living the good life, right? The truth about them is that they just don't have any clue about how lost they are. In their fear, anxiety, and their smugness, and their self-righteousness, they have the possibility of being lost forever. The purpose of these parables, I think, is pretty clear, is to show the Father cares for the lost and that they can be found. It also teaches us that we can have the same kind of joy that Jesus speaks of when he witnesses the lost being found. It's our joy to reach out to people with kindness and love. You don't know what they've experienced. You don't know what has been given to them. And then to see them found. Together as a church, we are called to be ready to embrace anyone and draw them to our wonderful Savior. You know, it's easy for a church to become askew in its priorities. Dr. Fred Craddock, a Methodist, a nationally known preacher and professor of preaching and New Testament studies at Candler School of Theology in Atlanta, tells about a time when he was a student becoming a pastor, that he was sent to a church in East Tennessee that he pastored while he was a student. It was a beautiful little church, white frame building, pretty as a picture. There were good people in that church too. It was a warm, loving fellowship. But when Dr. Craddock arrived, he noticed something. He noticed that none of the new people in the area, the town it was close to Oak Ridge, and all these people had come to work on the big government project, that none of these people were in the church, the one that lived in trailers and in quickly built shanties, who had lots of children. None of those people were coming to the church. So Craddock got all excited, called the church board together, and told them, "We need to reach out to those folks out there." Sounds exciting to me, right? They're close. Here's our mission. And the chairman of the board said, "Oh, no, I don't think so. They wouldn't fit in here." And Craddock shot back, "Well, but they need the gospel. They need a church. It's our mission. It's right before us." The board chairman said, "No, I don't think so." And the next Sunday, the board passed a resolution. Members will be admitted to this church only from families who own property in this county. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I can imagine it. So years later, Craddock took a trip back to that little town. He searched out the little church, and he found it. It was still a pretty place, white frame building. But out in front of this pretty little church was a sign that read, "Barbecued chicken, ribs, and pork." It wasn't a church anymore. The church had died. It was a restaurant now, and it was full of all kinds of people, sitting in those original pews, eating their barbecue. The building was packed when Craddock was there, and he said to his wife, "It's a good thing this isn't a church anymore, because these people wouldn't be welcomed." I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that the highest purpose of the Holy Christian Church on earth and our church is that we are here to connect people to their Savior, Jesus Christ. Number one purpose. This has to be taught and retaught, because churches always want to do something else. They want to make their mission to be something else. They want to take care of the 99. But that's not why Jesus came. Go and seek and save the lost. I don't mean that a church shouldn't take care of its members. Don't misunderstand me. But number one, we should be after those people who are not connected to Jesus Christ, who are living in darkness. We need to be intentional and has to be the opposite of the Bo Peep mentality. You remember Bo Peep? Little Bo Peep lost his sheep, can't tell where to find them, leave them alone, and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Change the words a little bit, okay? The truth is, the lost do not come home on their own. For one, they are lost. And for two, they don't know the way back. The outreach of the church, of you and me, is to have our eyes and ears open and willing to engage. Lost people often give up big hints of how deeply dissatisfied they are in their life, how things are not what they thought they should be or could be. They're grieving inside. They may be hiding it. We don't have all the answers, but we have the most important one. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. To believe in Jesus is to walk into the light, whereas the lost are stumbling in the darkness and wondering why they feel the way they do, why they do what they do. Jesus wants to welcome them back through us. Through us. There's one last thing to be said, and I want to say it about authentic joy. I'm not talking about hilarity or laughter or merriment, things I love dearly, by the way. No, I'm talking about a deep soul-level joy, a joy that can honestly bring tears of joy to your eyes. If you see someone's life change, someone come out of the darkness, someone who turns from a self-oriented life to a life in which they are serving their Lord. If you knew the person, if you prayed for that person, if you witnessed to that person, if you viewed the transformation of that person who comes alive in Christ, I guarantee you this, you'll know a joy like no other. You will join a party of angels rejoicing with God and before Him. And there is nothing that you can experience in life that provides more joy than this. Nothing. So if He's going to do it through us, what does that mean? Well, let's stretch ourselves. Let's risk. Let's touch with kindness someone. You may never have experienced this kind of joy. Maybe because you haven't risked. You know, you can talk to someone who's deeply disturbed about their life and you're afraid to bring up Jesus. I know how that can be. But what if you did? And what if, like one of those fish that Jesus is always saying he wants us to fish for, what if it takes hold? And what if they come into the light? Oh my goodness, life can change. I have to brag on my wife a little bit. Wherever we were in ministry, we've only been two places, so not a lot. But she would go to a chiropractor and he would be soon joining our church, you know. She'd go to work someplace or volunteer someplace, and here they'd be showing up to church. And I think it was because of her attitude and her joy in her life, because she displayed an alternative to what they were doing. And of course, then she went the next step, and she spoke about Jesus. Right? I was always amazed. I said, "Susie, fill up my adult and choir class, whatever you did." And she would, right? Let's join with others to let shine our faith in this dark world where so many are lost. Let's know the joy of seeing some of them come into the light that is Jesus Christ. In His name and to His glory, amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always.